welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com. Hello, beautiful people of Steelers Nation. Welcome to another beautiful episode of All Steelers Talk. I'm your host, Noah Strackbein, joined every Tuesday and Thursday by my main man, Donnie Droon. It's 4-1-2, baby. Pirates open.
It is.
Their season at 4-15 when it was supposed to be 4-12, classic Pirates. I couldn't tell you what the score is, but if I had to guess, they're losing. Nevertheless, it's a gorgeous day here in the Berg. Thank you for listening to All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Donnie, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. It's actually, it's a breezy 70 degrees out here, so I got the long sleeve on today.
Yo, it's actually a nice warm 75 here. I had to break out the t-shirt earlier. I was sweating. Ooh. I was doing a little moving with the lady and I was definitely breaking a sweat. It takes a lot of work. Like, people don't understand, like, putting a couch together at 26 years old is like a strenuous exercise, and I realize
not even that, but like, it's a really good test to see like where you and the lady are at, like relationship wise, like moving and like putting together like furniture.
Yes. Okay, let me tell you something. So I dated a girl in college and she helped me and my family move in, into one of my apartments in college. My family obviously knows I'm crazy, and like, you know, I'm a little crazy, so like they were fully expecting like yelling Noah, getting mad over screws falling on the floor. You know what I mean? Classic moving stuff. And she was not ready for it at all. She was like, "Oh, stop yelling." I'm like, "This is how we handle things with the lady now." Right. Yeah, very loud. With the lady now, it was smooth sailing. There was no shouting. It was just the two of us for 2 days now. It was good. It was maturing, some would say. All right, Donnie, we got to get into a couple of Pittsburgh Steelers things. We're going to jump into some buy or sells here in a couple minutes. But first, we want to take a couple of minutes here. Steelers Nation obviously had a very rough weekend with the tragic news of the loss of Dwayne Haskins, who was killed in a vehicle accident on Saturday morning in South Florida after training with Mitchell Trubisky and Chase Claypool and all of them over the weekend. Obviously, our condolences go to his wife, his family, all of Steelers Nation and the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. We saw on Chase Claypool's face in those videos and with the words from pretty much everybody that everyone really is hurting from the loss of a 24-year-old whose life ended way, way too soon. I have some words, but I know you have some thoughts as well, so I'll let you have the floor first.
Yeah, and it really kind of like struck a chord, you know, like that's somebody's husband, that's somebody's son, that's somebody's friend, teammate, brother, whatever you want to call it. I was very happy to see the way the Steelers community rallied around each other, because everybody grieves differently and there's really no right way to grieve, especially with a loss of a young man who's younger than us, which is wild to think about. Like, it really, really is. And it really puts that into perspective. Granted, there were a couple of national reporters that didn't exactly do the right things whenever it came to reporting his death and whenever it came to speaking on Dwayne Haskins. But I thought everybody in the realm of Pittsburgh, whether it be fans, media, whatever it might be, I thought everybody did an extremely great job of making sure people remember Dwayne Haskins the right way. And that's remembering Dwayne Haskins as the so upbeat, happy-go-lucky guy. The guy who had such a bright future ahead of him, whether it was, you know, on or off the field, and just an overall great dude to be around. You know, you don't get too many guys like that here in life to where so many people have so many good things to say about him. And I was never around him personally. So I'm sure you can speak a little bit more to what he was actually like in person, but man, just like reading through the tweets and the comments from teammates and like fans that met him and like media that like interacted with him, like, we really did lose somebody special.
Yeah, we definitely did. And exactly like you said, you know, I think Dwayne Haskins' death showed us a lot. And obviously anytime somebody dies before they're supposed to, and at 24 years old, I mean, it's crazy to think, but like, I'm 26 and all I kept thinking about was Like, I have so much life to live. And he had even more life to live. And the fact that he had so much potential on and off the field, and you saw that with the words from his teammates and the organization and his loved ones all throughout the country, is that, you know, Dwayne Haskins did everything he could to care for people. And I thought that was awesome, because the last 2 years with him being in Pittsburgh, we didn't get to see that. You know, we didn't get to see who Dwayne Haskins was because of the way that COVID is and the media was and our restrictions and everything. And I think it was awesome to bring a light to, hey, Steelers Nation, this isn't just a guy that some of you were hoping won the starting quarterback job this year. Like, this was a guy that every single day from day one made an impact on the people around him at such a young age. I mean, at 24 years old, to have the impact that Dwayne Haskins had on people and people that he didn't spend a whole lot of time with. I mean, you saw the raw emotion in these guys, and that just shows how special he was. And that, obviously, you know, it's heartbreaking. And I said it to everybody in the last 2 days. Every time I've talked about this, you were the person that texted me, and I was getting ready to leave to go to Pitt's blue and gold game. And you texted me and you were like, yo, like, look at this. And all I kept saying, I ran in the other room, I grabbed my laptop, and obviously it's my job to report the news and to dig into this. So I started to, and I just kept saying it out loud, like, oh my God, Dwayne Haskins died. Oh my God, Dwayne Haskins died. I said it like 5 or 6 times as I'm writing the story. And it's because, and just like you touched on, with some of the national media didn't really do what they were supposed to in the light of this. But it's hard sometimes. And I think that a moment like this, a moment like Dwayne Haskins, shows you that, like, these are not athletes. These are people. These are real human beings that, you know, even if we just see from the outside realm, even if we just see from a distance in interviews and on a football field, we actually start to care about. And you even start to care about them in the point of, like, I don't watch football games and cheer for the Steelers anymore. I watch football games and analyze. And, you know, I talk to people and analyze their words. And I even felt like, wow, dude, like, I cared enough about Dwayne Haskins because he touched me enough in the last year and a half. And, you know, I'm a minuscule of the people that he has impacted. And I think overall, the biggest thing that we could take away here, and the biggest thing that we've learned, and you've touched on this, is Dwayne was a perfect example to live life the way that you're supposed to live it. And that's just to be you. He said it as soon as he came to Pittsburgh. I just want to be Dwayne Haskins. I want to be somebody that comes in here every day and works and shows people who I am. And everybody said that in the last 4 or 5 days. Dwayne was Dwayne, and he was really good at being Dwayne, because Dwayne was just a genuine, great dude. So it shows us, hey, people are going to remember you for who you are. And if you're a kind, caring guy, they're going to remember you even more. And on top of it all, smile, because people are going to remember how much you smile. And when your time comes, we all pray that it's not too soon. Your smile and how much you smile will make other people smile remembering you. So obviously, you know, from me and you and from everybody here at All Steelers, our condolences and our prayers to the Haskins family, the whole Steelers organization, and literally every single one of you guys watching, because what Dwayne meant to Steelers Nation was heard and felt, and we feel it with you. So we love you guys. Tell somebody that you love them, you know, and like I said, 5, 6 times in this thing, thank you guys, and we love you as well. So, all right, now we turn to real Steelers talk, which is good. I think that we need to distract ourselves a little bit. I think right now it's a good time for fans and everybody to just, you know, realize that we're all in this together, and, you know, let's keep each other positive and that kind of stuff. And I don't think there's anything that keeps people more positive than me and you yelling at each other on a Tuesday over some NFL draft news. So we appreciate it. We're going to jump into some buy or sells here. All right. We each came up with 3. I'm sure that you guys will toss us a couple of more in the comments. We'll try to get to as many as possible. I'm going to start first. All right. A little slow pitch. Sure. All right. Buy or sell 1. Carl Joseph makes the Pittsburgh Steelers 53-man roster at the end of August.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. And this is assuming that the Steelers are going to grab either the likes of Tyrann Mathieu, Terrell Edmunds, or a safety in the draft. That'll give them X player safety right there. Minka Fitzpatrick, and also on the board, they have Miles Killebrew, which is more of like a special teams guy, which the Steelers do covet a lot, actually, especially in their backups. Trey Norwood, who we have highlighted a lot on the show, Carl Joseph, and then Donovan Steiner to round out the list of guys currently on the roster. I think the experience that Carl Joseph gives you is enough to at least warrant an initial 53-man roster spot. Whether or not he'll remain with the team on the active roster through all 17 games might be another question. I don't know. I like Joseph over Steiner. And then the argument kind of goes there with Killebrew. I like him a little bit more than Killebrew, and I'm sure Carl Joseph can contribute on special teams to the amounts that Killebrew does as well. But then you get into like the whole like Trey Norwood area, because you know Trey Norwood, going to his second year. There's a lot to like. He's a pretty versatile guy just in terms of what you want to do. The Steelers seem to like him a lot. So I think it'll ultimately come down to those two. And I think Norwood is going to be on the roster regardless of what happens with Carl Joseph. But I just think Carl Joseph is going to be good enough to play himself into a 53-man roster role.
Yeah, I think in the summer, it's a better opportunity for him to make the 53-man roster because he came into last season. He didn't really have the opportunity to compete anywhere. He was just signed to the practice squad, and at that point, you're already a losing game. Over Donovan Steiner, definitely. I still think Miles Killebrew is a lock for the 53-man roster just because if you block two punts in a season and they bring you back on a two-year, $4 million deal, they're obviously saying you are our special teams ace. And the Steelers, I mean, just like you said, they kept Darius Hayward-Bey around for years and years to just contribute on special teams. And I think that's the new Miles Killebrew. I mean, Jordan Dangerfield was that for a while, and I don't expect him to contribute at all in the secondary, which is where I think Carl Joseph could squeeze his way into the 53-man roster. Age is going to be a thing here because if they go into the summer and they draft somebody and they sign somebody like Terrell Edmunds or Tyrann Mathieu, that's a different question. I think at that point, you're looking at Carl Joseph just like, okay, you don't even have a spot on this team. But both of those, I would feel, have to happen. If they do, let's say they draft somebody. Let's not say they sign somebody. Let's say they draft somebody. Do you feel just as confident in Joseph to make the 53?
If they draft somebody pretty high, I do think that might knock it down a little bit. But also, I was working under the assumption that either Edmunds or Mathieu was going to be there in the first place. I don't know, because I know the secondary is definitely a spot you prefer to have depth at. And I just think Carl Joseph provides good enough depth to warrant a 53-man roster spot. At very worst, I feel like he's going to be a very tough cut. If he does fall outside of the 53, but I'm sure he'll land right back in our practice squad if no other team swoops in and gets him.
Oh yeah, no doubt. He's practice. He's on the Steelers in 2022. I think that's a definite, especially if he went all year on the practice squad last year and there's more safeties coming into the league. Carl Joseph's, it's unfortunate, but Carl Joseph is working his way out of the NFL instead of back into it. Do you think that, because we're going to get into this in a minute, but there's a lot of people talking like the Steelers are going to find somebody who could play safety and nickel, which is Arthur Millett's spot. Do you think that, I mean, in a lot of the safeties in this class, I mean, Daxton Hill's a name we named time and time again in the first round. Yeah. He could definitely be a nickel in the NFL and a strong safety. Do you think that Arthur Millett's a guy that could get pushed out? I mean, I know this is not a buy or sell, but he's a name that kind of sits at that same Carl Joseph line, I believe, if somebody gets drafted.
I think Mullet is like fine at what he does, but I also think he's very expendable as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think, let's say like Hill's there, for example. I don't think the Steelers are like, well, we got Arthur Mullet. So, I mean, it's like, dude, like, go get him, you know, like, go make your defense better and go get Daxton Hill. You feel?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that all it takes is one addition and Daxton Hill's out. I also think that if Trey Norwood could show that he could play slot this year or nickel or whatever, they'll be like, okay, yeah, we're done with you. There's no need. I mean, he's Arthur Millette. He's a guy that will run into you 110 miles per hour. He does not care about his body at all. We saw that last season. He's probably going to stay on the team as a depth role unless there's too many pieces. But I do think he's a guy that at the end of the summer, they could be like, okay, well, you have to earn your way onto this roster.
Trey Norwood's kind of that wild card, right? Like if Trey Norwood comes into training camp and he's balling out and he balls out in the preseason, I mean, that's going to make a lot of tough decisions even tougher for the Steelers.
Oh, it's a ton. If Trey Norwood, imagine if they sign a guy, draft a guy, and then Trey Norwood's like, nah, I'm a baller. I'm a second year guy. I made that second year leap. This is what we need to do. Things can get dangerous. Let's answer this before I let you go. Josh Dobbs, real quick, signed with the Cleveland Browns over the weekend. Unfortunate.
Informant.
He said that he said that it's weird to be on the other side of the rivalry. Congratulations to Josh. I like Josh enough to say you deserve a job anywhere in the NFL. I hope that he still thrives out there in Cleveland. All right. You're up. Buy or sell. Hit me.
All right. Buy or sell, because this has been a very hot topic within the realm of Steelers draft talk. Buy or sell, Kyle Hamilton will be there at pick number 20.
No. Sell it for $1 billion, $1, whatever the highest number on this scale is. But no, there's no way. He met with the Detroit Lions today. I think if anything, the media is still pushing the whole Kyle Hamilton is not a top 20 pick or is going to slide because he ran like a 4.7 or something. And the NFL is like, yeah, you could keep talking, but he's going to go like top three. So yeah, it is what it is. I could see him going number two to Detroit. I still believe he's the best player in the draft. I don't think that's going to change at all. I think that's an easy one.
I think at very worst to end up in a Giants uniform. It's just a matter of whether you're at pick number five or pick number seven.
Yeah, I saw Peter Schrager put him at 11 the other day, and then I heard him explain it on the Pat McAfee show, and he was like, oh, well, a lot of teams see him sliding, but I don't think he slides out of the top 11. And I was like, I don't think he slides out of the top seven, and I don't understand how we've pushed the number so far back when before he ran a 4.7, people were considering him like the next amazing athlete. Like he was the head of this class, and now it's like, oh well, this guy might not even be worth the first round pick.
I will say there is like a guy or two like that pretty much every year that slides more than they should. Like I remember Ed Oliver like slid down the draft board a little bit. Isaiah Simmons slid down a little bit 2 years ago as well. So
true. I was watching the Laramie Tunsil.
Oh yeah.
They're always guys. I mean, not everyone's ripping a bong, but there's always guys. Shout out our boy Aiden over here. The dudes just wins giveaways. Also, speaking of giveaways, before we get into the next one, just ordered the giveaways for the big thing that we got coming that I'll announce on Friday with Derek.
Okay.
But just know that just ordered the giveaways for him, so everybody should probably tune in on Friday. All right, let me hit you. Steelers will draft a running back at the end of the month. Buy or sell?
I'm going to buy that. I don't think it'll be very high. I think because I've been a proponent of them bringing in a veteran free agent to kind of sit behind Najee and show him the ropes a little bit. I don't know. My problem is that I view running backs dime a dozen, except for the occasional special running back that comes out. Like I was a big Saquon guy whenever he was coming out. I don't think he should have been drafted number two overall, but I was still a very, very big fan of him. So like guys like that, generational dudes, Christian McCaffrey, another one who's like, he can end up staying healthy somehow. I think the Steelers do end up getting a running back. I just don't think it'll be super high in the draft like everybody suggests it will be. Like the guys who were saying to draft like Brian Robinson, for example, I feel like Robinson's going to go day two. And at least in my opinion, that's just not a spot where the Steelers need to take a running back, especially with like other needs they can probably fulfill. If you have to go into the season with Benny Snell Jr. as a backup, that's not preferred. But if you fill other gaps instead of that, I'm not upset at it.
Oh, we have changed. That's a changed opinion there, I feel. I feel that's a lightened opinion.
I'm not Benny's number one fan, but like it is what it is, especially if you're going to keep riding Najee Harris with a lot of tread still left on his tires. I think they'll get somebody later in the draft. I can't really give you any names off the top of my head right now, but I fully expect somebody else to be on that roster come time for the training camp.
Yeah, I do too. And I think a lot of it's going to depend because you have both of the Georgia guys who like are late round picks. Zamir White might go undrafted. And you look at those guys and you're just thinking, okay, well, the Steelers could pick up one of those guys as an undrafted free agent. So I think that it depends on how the draft board slides and when running backs start coming off the board, because it's definitely not going to be round one. It might not even be round two. So that will play a factor in it. I agree with you. I think at some point the Steelers do bring somebody in. I am not comfortable with Benny Snell Jr. I've given up on that train because I was comfortable with them last year, like comfortable with them enough to make that argument where it's like, oh, well, if they do everything else right, I feel good about Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland. I hope Anthony McFarland turns into something, but I'm not going to put my trust in him until he shows us something. I hope, but not right now. Benny Snell has done nothing to impress me in the NFL. He's just another Jalen Samuels who, in my opinion, does less. They need somebody. Najee's going to get hurt. That's the problem. You're gonna run Najee into a part of his career where, just like Le'Veon Bell, couldn't stay healthy at the end of seasons, and it's going to come back to bite the Steelers in the butt. You don't want a guy like Mitchell Trubisky heading into week 16 fighting for a playoff spot without a running back. That's not a situation that he's going to walk out of there victorious. Not going to happen. Oh, I think you're up.
Okay. Do you think buy or sell that wide receiver heading to the 2022 NFL draft is a bigger priority than cornerback?
Yes and no. Oh man, that's a tough one. Okay. That's a tough one. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say wide receiver is a higher priority just because there is a depth issue at wide receiver. The Pittsburgh Steelers need a third guy right now, but I still think that they could somehow fill that somewhere. But at the same time, I know who the Pittsburgh Steelers are, and I know that they will draft a wide receiver. It's what they do. Cornerback, however, they've shown a lot of interest in some bigger guys. And I think that just might say, hey, we're attracted to first round guys who might possibly be there. Whereas in we're not so attracted to first round wide receivers who might be there. So I think value wise, the Pittsburgh Steelers might have corner over wide receiver. Priority wise, I think it's glaringly obvious that wide receiver is more important.
I think having a really good front seven definitely helps a lot with the fact that they could probably wait on a corner if they needed to, but like you're looking at the receiving core and you're like, all right, well, like outside of like Deontay and Claypool, you really need a third guy to step up. And so in the cornerback room, you have guys like Cam Sutton, you have Levi Wallace, who just signed. You have James Pierre. So, like, you feel all right about that trio right there. You're definitely, like, an upgrade to, you know, to boost the depth and the overall talent in that room. But, I mean, it really feels like this whole offseason is about getting Trubisky or whatever quarterback of the future as much help as possible, whether it's on the offensive line, whether it's on the receiving core, getting Najee Harris a backup running back. It's like, you really need to start rounding out your offensive arsenal, because at times you are going to find yourself in scenarios where you're going to need to win a shootout a couple times. And you know, like the Steelers' current offense is not set up to win those more times than not.
No, definitely not. Let me ask you this. Do you think that there's a possibility, buy or sell? I'll give you a buy or sell here. Akello Witherspoon and Levi Wallace start on the outside for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season.
I buy that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cam Sutton in the obviously at the slot and in the nickel.
Yeah, and I've been a really big proponent of having Cam Sutton move around. I really do think the Steelers value him as kind of like a Swiss Army knife, to where they don't really like stick him in one position. Like they let him kind of be that utility guy across the board defensively. And I'm not the biggest fan of him in the slot. I think he can hold his own, but like I don't think he's like this like top 10 guy in the league whenever it comes to like playing in the slot and like taking away somebody like Keenan Allen, like Jarvis Landry or anything like that. But I feel really good about Akilah Witherspoon after watching him last year. I'm hoping he can take another step forward. And I mean, Levi Wallace seemed to be a very, very good player for the Buffalo Bills that just needed a change of scenery. So I'm really hopeful for those two guys on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I think that the Steelers value Cam Sutton enough to let him be the starter on the outside. I think Cam Sutton played really well on the outside last year. I thought he was super reliable, but at the same time, he has so much value. And I think this is the year where the Pittsburgh Steelers and Sutton have a conversation like, hey, where is my value going to take me farther in the NFL? Is it going to be as that utility piece or is it going to be as an outside corner? Obviously, the checks come at an outside corner, but only if you're very good at the position. I think he is. I think this will be the year that determines where he wants to take the rest of his career. I think if he moves to a utility piece, the Steelers could keep him around for a long, long time. But I think Cam Sutton is the most underrated player on the Steelers defense. I've thought that for 2 years now. All right. Am I up? I believe I'm up.
I'm up.
Okay. Hit me. No. Cause cornerback, wide receiver.
Okay.
And then I tossed you just a curveball, a little side one there. I got it's a baseball season. It's baseball season. Now before we get into this one, let's answer Aiden's here. Chase Claypool has a breakout year. The Pittsburgh Steelers have two starting wide receivers on this football team. Chase Claypool is the dude who shines by herself.
Can I like keep this in the shopping cart for now? Because like I really can't commit one way or another because I see both sides of what he could possibly do. Because you're getting a younger quarterback who can probably push the ball down the field a little bit better than Ben was able to the last couple of years. And so that's more exciting for sure. And then year two of the Matt Canada offense, you're hoping things go a little bit smoothly now that the players on the system, they're able to kind of communicate and work better through all of that good stuff. But just the opportunities that Chase Claypool has had the last few years, I feel like he is underperformed to his capabilities. And like the third year for every NFL player is a make or break year. Like that's when we really find out what these guys have. I don't think Chase Claypool right now has shown me enough to really have confidence in him. I really don't. Like the tools are there. He's 6'5". He runs freakishly fast. I get it. I mean, but like I've said this time and time again in the podcast, he's the classic example of look like Tarzan and play like Jane.
It's been so long since you've said that. I did miss that. I would agree with you. I'm not going to put it in the back pocket. I'm going to say Chase Claypool does not have a breakout season. That being said, I will be the first person to admit that Chase Claypool could have a breakout season, and it could be very impressive. Like this could be the year that Chase Claypool becomes who Chase Claypool should have been for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's year three. He was playing with the Hall of Fame quarterback who was on his last leg. A lot of passes to Chase Claypool were just like a little off. That being said, on the other side of the argument, if he does things like the first down thing, if he does things like blame other people, if he does things like not have any leadership and show us that now he doesn't even have Ben, so he's got nobody talking in his ear to calm him down from making bad mental mistakes, Chase Claypool could be in for a very, very tough.
And I think that's going to be the deciding factor, not even like his improvement on the field, but just like maturity wise, like off the field. I would not dump DJ. And I know y'all got Derek really riled up on Friday, whenever it came to the Deontay Johnson talk. So I'll skip that for sure. Chase Claypool has all of the tools in the world to become a very good wide receiver at the NFL level.
Yep.
But like it's still not clicking right up here. And if there's any offseason for him to prove people like me wrong, it's now. It's basically now or never. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he flips that switch, and I hope he becomes this dominant receiver that the Steelers drafted him to be in the second round. But until we see that, until we see him do it on a consistent basis, because there were flashes, Noah Strachmine. There were flashes of him last year going up, towering
flashes
over,
two years ago.
Over defensive backs and just like snagging those 50-50 balls and just using his frame and his muscle to like bring down catches. And it's like, dude, where has this been? Like, what's preventing you from doing this on a 17-game basis?
Yep. I mean, you got to remember the 3-touchdown game for Chase Claypool or the 4-touchdown, whatever it was. He's had moments. This is the year that those moments could come together. Again, I got to see it before I believe anything. Yep. I've put my faith in guys that I thought were going to do well that didn't do well too many times. Now I'm very, very cautious with these situations. So I'm gonna say no, but maybe. I'm gonna say no, but maybe. All right. My final one here for you. The Steelers leave the NFL draft with the same picks that they enter the NFL draft with.
Selling all the way. Noah, you know this team better than almost anybody. You know they are not going to sit still and stand pat with their draft picks. I mean, I'm looking at their picks right now. They do not have a fifth round pick. They do have a fourth round pick, even though they originally traded theirs to Miami last year. So they have a first, a second, a third, a fourth. They have, it looks like, a sixth round pick, even though they traded their sixth round pick in the Joe Schobert trade, and then 2 7th round picks.
Yes, correct.
Yep. 2 7th round picks. You know they're going to wheel and deal their way into the fifth round somehow, and they're going to throw everybody a curveball. And I mean, we're going to be chilling in our laptops watching the draft in the fifth round, eating some food, and all of a sudden you're going to see the bottom of the screen flicker to black and gold, and you're like, all right, well, get the laptop out.
Get the laptop. I'll be getting 15 text messages and I'll be throwing chips in the air. It'll be terrible. It's what my life is. It's a fun time. It's a fun time. I'm actually in the middle of a move right now and I have my brother coming down. Told him he's calling off school. He's about to graduate high school. I told him, yo, you're taking Friday off next week. And yeah. Excited for the kid. He's heading to Philly. I was like, yo, you're coming down. I need the whole office moved before the NFL draft. I was like, I can't be sitting in an empty room in an empty house for 3 days on no sleep, writing 400 articles, pouring sweat from how much. I think that nobody really realizes how much you actually do on the NFL draft. It's crazy. That being said, I totally agree with you. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and this is what they do. They just move. They move pieces. They get chess pieces. They move around. I think that they head into the draft with the same picks that they have now. And I think that at some point there will be somebody available that they say we have to move up to get. And they'll use those 6th and 7th round picks. Plus, they still have a 5th round pick next season, which means that pick's got to go because that's just Pittsburgh Steelers tradition. They'll be wheeling and dealing their way out of it. You're up.
No.
I don't think we're not trading up for a quarterback. I don't believe anybody's trading up for a quarterback. I think that by the time the NFL draft rolls around, I said this last week, the hype for quarterbacks will be so far down that guys will slide. Guys won't go earlier than expected. This I said last week though. And Steve, I could agree with you. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have a strong opportunity to trade back into the end of the first round and get Desmond Ridder on something that doesn't cost a whole ton. And they have a quarterback they believe in. They have another player at 20 that they believe in, and they could go into the second round and get that third key piece and then work on depth later in the draft. All right, let's finish it off here. Donnie boy, what's your last one?
Final one. Do you think the Steelers are content with their offensive line as it stands right now?
Oh, I'll break this one down and do a couple pieces. So just a generic answer, yes. I don't think that the Steelers add to their offensive line anymore throughout this offseason. Maybe a depth piece here or there. I think that offensive tackle is a position that they could address in the NFL draft, but I'm not going to say that they're going to right now. I think that they'll focus on other areas of need and maybe sign a veteran that could play tackle as well. On the inside, I think they're totally set. I don't know who's going to start at center, and I don't know who's going to start at the guards, but I think that they have enough pieces right now to test everybody out and feel comfortable with that. And I think I feel comfortable enough about it too. Let me ask you this. Do you buy or sell that Kendrick Green will be the starting center in 2022?
Oh, I'm selling that.
He's in Florida working at center. He's working with Marquise Pouncey at center.
Good for him. It's not going to help him, but good for him.
Yeah? Do you think that he's a starting guard?
I think, that's a good question, honestly. I'm going to say no. I think Dotson, because we've talked about this and how basically I think Mason Cole will probably end up starting at center somehow. James Daniels is probably going to be the right guard. And then it's going to come down to either Dotson or Green at the left guard spot. My money's on Dotson. At least whenever it comes to the spot that he's been able to handle the last couple of years, and Kendrick Green moving from center to guard after previously moving from guard to center in college. Yeah, I'll take my chances with Dotson.
All right, so people are not going to like this. I know a lot of people. That's a good one. I know a lot. I read the comments sometimes. And yeah, like afterwards, and for days and days, all people they're just like, Noah's crazy, man. Noah, you sound like a clown. What's going on here? And I'm just like, I get it, man. I get it. Like, I do sound a little crazy sometimes, but sometimes my craziest ideas are my best ideas. I fully expect 2022 Kanye or 2002 Kanye. We don't talk about 2022 Kanye. I fully expect the Pittsburgh Steelers to walk into training camp and for Mike Tomlin to look everybody in the eyes and say, yeah, we're going to have an open competition at center between Mason Cole and Kendrick Green. Kendrick Green's going to get the first opportunity to prove he's the starter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to upset a lot of people. Here's the thing. Kendrick Green looks like he's a starting player in the NFL in practice. He's mean. He's motivated. He goes 110 miles per hour, and he could hit a dummy bag just as well as anybody else in the field could hit a dummy bag. He doesn't screw up snaps at practice. Everything looks totally fine. So until those preseason games, he's going to be the starting center for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, he has an opportunity to ruin that in the preseason, but, I mean, losing a competition battle once you're in the starting spot in the preseason is not that difficult or is not that hard to do. All you got to do is just go in there, play one quarter of quality football, and don't make a bunch of mistakes. I don't like it.
So
I don't feel good about it. That's just my thoughts.
So you're saying he looks like Tarzan and
plays like Jane? Plays like Jane. That's what I'm feeling here for Kendrick Green. And I think that a lot of people are going to be very upset once that ball rolls. I also think that at some point we're going to jump on the Kendrick Green is actually good train, and then we're going to be all wrong. So
maybe he puts it together.
No, he's not. He's going to look like he's going to put it together for a minute there, and then he's going to be bad. All right. And everybody remember this. When it's week two and we're talking about how bad Kendrick Green is, remember that Noah Strackbine sat right here and told everybody he's going to be a starting center. He's going to convince us all that he's good. And then he's going to prove us all that he's still 200 pounds and cannot push a 400-pound lineman. That being said, I agree with whoever tossed the Kevin Dotson comment out there. I think Kendrick Green, by the end of the season, if he is moved to guard and Mike Tomlin makes the right decision at that spot, is a better offensive lineman than Kevin Dotson. Maybe that's a hot take, but I felt that for some time. All right. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're counting down the draft. What are we? We're about 16 days from the NFL draft. And like I said earlier, we got something brewing. So make sure that you tune in Tuesday or Thursday. Make sure you tune in Friday because we got big news coming. Make sure everybody goes and subscribes to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Be a friend. Tell a friend to go use our promo code for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Like this video. We appreciate you. See you Thursday.